Security Council just passed this resolution. It calls for Hezbollah to disarm, Hezbollah to leave southern Lebanon, which is impossible, and Israeli troops to stay in Lebanon, which Omer's has opened up and said, we're going to actually have a full-scale invasion of southern Lebanon. So it calls for Israeli troops to stay there until a multinational force can replace them. And it says Israel can keep on defensive operations in Lebanon.
Up to 10,000 massing on the border.
Yeah.
It's a horrendous situation.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I would argue, like, the majority of Lebanese support them because they're, like, resisting colonialism. I would argue that they're actually a force for good for Lebanese people.
We are on Church Street. August 12, 2006. An emergency protest. Stop. U.S.-sponsored Israeli terror in Lebanon and Palestine.
1 million Lebanese refugees, one quarter of Lebanon's population. And today we are here to demand immediate ceasefire, stop the invasion and bombing of Lebanon, withdraw all Israeli troops from Lebanon and Palestine, end the occupation of Palestine, stop U.S. aid to Israel, free Arab political prisoners in Israel, and respect Arab and Muslim human rights. Israel is going to say a few words, and after that, we're going to march.
The new UN resolution is not going to stop this war. It is going to give Israel just what it needs to complete its occupation of southern Lebanon. That's why it came out in the Israeli papers yesterday that the government of Israel is satisfied with the new resolution. And they assure us that this will give them permission to continue the ground invasion of Lebanon for the next 2 months. That's why they're going to vote in the Israeli cabinet tomorrow to approve the resolution. It's not going to stop. Hezbollah, as well as it's been doing in trying to resist the occupation of Lebanon, is probably not going to be able to stop it either. This is not an Israeli war. This is a U.S.-Israeli war. Don't forget that this war was shopped around in Washington last year to all the high poobahs of our military and foreign policy establishment. This is an American war. Total war on Gaza started June 25th with the destruction of Gaza's power system, roads, bridges, government buildings. Exactly the same thing they're doing in Lebanon. The occupation of the West Bank is accelerating. The Jordan Valley is being prepared for annexation to Israel. We've got to stop it. Let's go! From Beirut to Palestine, occupation is a crime. From Beirut to Palestine, occupation is a crime.
A few words. It's good to see people coming out to speak out against the devastations in Palestine and in Lebanon, when it seems like a lot of people don't really have a good sense of what's going on there. It's good to see this many people coming out to say something about it.
How many people you think are here at the moment?
I'd say there's probably at least 75 or maybe 100 at this point.
I'm sure it's going to grow.
Yeah, as it marches down the road, it usually picks up more people along the way. So.
Occupation is a crime. Occupation is a crime.
Free, free, Iraq. Free, free.
Palestine. Free, free Lebanon. Free, free Iraq.
Just turned the corner of Church and Pearl, heading up Pearl.
From Beirut to Palestine,
occupation is a crime.
From Beirut to Palestine,
occupation is a crime.
From Beirut to Palestine,
occupation is a crime.
We've always been fighting for causes of peace and justice. Now that we're on this march to folly, more than ever, it's nice that you can attach yourself to a group that has a kindred spirit. Where you can, you probably think, you know, am I out of step because the whole world seems to be in step with war, with whatever, you know, patriotism you're labeled with. If you're unpatriotic, you're considered a terrorist supporter. Sociopathological. I mean, these men are invented on war. They would have been perfect in the Wannsee Conference of 1942. Well, there's the butcher of Lyon, who actually was responsible for the murder of thousands of children.
Klaus Barbie?
Klaus Barbie, okay. Butcher of Lyon. He was working for the CIA, well, whatever was the equivalency of the CIA at the time.
The National Security.
The National Security. There's one Nazi during the Nuremberg trials. Albert Speer.
Albert, I think, Speer.
He was one of the more sincere Nazis who really felt guilty for the crimes that he had partaken in, that he was associated with, and his Spandau prison experiences. And here was a man who predicted almost prophetically that the future wars will be smart bombs, will be the technology. More and more people will be alienated through destruction. We won't consider a human being anymore. Any future war will become a war where we will be totally dependent on technology, and a human being will become absolutely worthless. It will become a cockroach, will become meaningless. And this is what we have to watch out for, where we reduce human beings to nothingness.
Eisenhower understood what was happening in America, and he warned America about the military-industrial complex back in the 1950s.
The military person says something that's worthy of respect almost. It's sad. If Gandhi had said it, it wouldn't be interesting.
Who knows what Martin Luther King would have accomplished by now if he wasn't killed by the FBI.
After 9/11, I said to my wife, it's not inconceivable that this coup was performed by our administration. That, in other words, I immediately espoused the conspiracy theory about 9/11, the Pentagon, and she said, "Henry, you're totally out of order. You're hyperbolicizing." But now it's coming out more and more. This was a conspiracy, and you can see the whole right movement is predicated on the success of maintaining that juggernaut. You know, if you're not with us, you're against us. You're criticizing or even suggesting or the faintest allusion to a conspiracy theory about the World Trade Center makes you guilty of terrorism.
It's exactly what Adolf Hitler did when he burned the Reichstag.
The Reichstag, yes, that's right.
That's a coup d'etat. He took the power, blaming the Jews, the gypsies, cripples, communists.
Yeah.
And anybody that was non-Aryan was doomed to be enslaved.
Right.
That's essentially what's happening today. Only George Bush is worse than Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, what makes George Bush even worse than Hitler is that he's an idiot. The ventriloquists are his vice president, his Rumsfeld, and all the the psychopaths around him. I mean, this vice president is a very, very dangerous man. I think he is the world's greatest terrorist.
Without a doubt.
Every utterance he makes is a provocation. He can never make a statement for peace, for human dignity. He's always antagonizing everyone. In the name of national security, you can get away with anything.
What's your name?
Henry.
Nice name. Nice. Black Flash.
Okay, very nice. Very nice.
Standing in front of the Burlington Free Press. Moving onward. Heading into Burlington City Park in the middle of the farmer's market. Hundreds of people are hearing this. Back to church in Maine. Rally will begin.
Power in the world defending itself. This is also not
an age-old religious conflict between Jews and Muslims. Jews, Muslims, Christians have lived in peace in the Middle East for 12,000 years, and they can do it again. In this war, Israelis, Palestinians, Iraqis, and Lebanese die because the U.S. and Israeli governments want to control oil and natural gas in the region. This is about imperialism, this is about profit, and this is about empire. We in the United States have a huge role to play in stopping this, because it's American soldiers who are told to massacre Iraqis in Fallujah, Baghdad, Haditha. It's American sanctions that kill a third of Palestinian babies because the Palestinians don't have enough supplies in their hospitals. And it's American cluster bombs and American white phosphorus that have forced a fourth of the Lebanese population to flee their homes. The importance of us being here today, opposing U.S. imperialism, cannot be understated. I ask all of you to think about your role in the world from a historical perspective. When during the Holocaust, Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto took arms and fought off German soldiers for nearly a month, would you have supported them? When the African National Congress fought against South African apartheid and the U.S. labeled them a terrorist organization, would you have supported them? And now, as Israel ethnically cleanses the Palestinians and seeks to destroy and colonize Lebanon, will you join people across the Middle East and stand in solidarity with Hamas and Hezbollah as they fight for Palestinian and Lebanese liberation? We here today are actually with the mainstream of worldwide opinion. 15,000 marched in Montreal, 100,000 in Baghdad, and another 100,000 in London.
Concepts. One does get incorporated into the other. I think the peace movement is the overarching movement, and the anti-war movement is a component of that. And the reason why I'm raising this, not because I want to make a play semantic games, because I think it does change the way we address these issues, and it does change perhaps some of the solutions we see toward the kind of world we want. A just world at peace. The justice part obviously being an important, essential component of a peaceful world. So what I wanted to just talk about before we get into what I was asked to talk about is connecting Iraq to this current horror, is to say that when we talk about the people in the Middle East, thousands of them in Israel have come out against this war. We're not hearing about that, but they have been. Just as Europe and the rest of the world does not know that there is a U.S. anti-war movement, we're not being told about the Israel anti-war movement there. We need to reach across to those people, and we need to increase our circle of concern for those who buy into the wartime propaganda. So I just want to raise that issue. I don't think I need to tell this crowd that, but I think it bears repeating every so often. We're here to bring peace and justice to all the people in the Middle East. While we call, appropriately so, for the end of the occupation of Palestine, the end of the occupation of Lebanon, I think we have to do all those things, but keep in mind that our final goal is justice and peace, a permanent peace, not one that just takes advantage of the military moment or the political moment, but that one that brings us all to an understanding that either we're all going to live together in a peaceful way, or we're all going to perish. Israel has between 250 and 300 nuclear weapons. So we've got to be talking about peace, not just anti-war, anti-occupation. Enough of that, I think you already know that anyway. Well, just one other thing. When we condemn Israel, let's be clear, we're condemning the Israeli government and their policies and their actions. Just as when we condemn the United States, we're condemning the United States government and its actions. We're often asked who started it. Well, that depends on where you put the starting line. If you put it on July 25th, you come up with one answer. If you put it in 1948, you come up with a different answer. If you put it in 1967, you may come up with a different answer. So who started it is really a non-starter as a conversation. We have to ask who's going to stop it. And that's us. And that's the people in Israel and Palestine and Lebanon who are going to stop it. But we have to make sure that we're in alliance with them and standing with them in this effort. I think, and I think most of you would agree, that Iraq was the first step, the first attempt for the Bush administration to try out its national security strategy. Not many people understand and know about the national security strategy of the United States. The first one that the Bush administration promulgated came out in September of 2002. And in it, basically what the United States government said was that the United States can, they called it preemptive, but it's actually preventive, preventively attack another nation when it feels that U.S. interests or the interests of its allies, I think we need to remember they also said the interests of its allies, are at stake. I think Iraq was the first attempt to do that. Look how well it's worked. I think Syria and Iran, of course, being a member of the Axis of Evil, along with Iraq and Korea, and if we think of their behaviors over the last several years, they're on a list not only that calls them the Axis of Evil, but they're also on the U.S. Nuclear Posture Review, which targets seven countries in the world with our nuclear weapons. Iran, Iraq, and North Korea are on that list. So we begin to look at, when we start talking about who started this, what started it, what precipitates this kind of paranoia and fear and anger that results in the disaster we're seeing today. I think that Israel is not so much being aided by the United States. I think it's being pushed by the United States into this conflict. And I think the reasons for that, and I'm not the first person here that said that today, and probably won't be the last. I think what we're seeing in the Middle East right now is the playing out of an overarching U.S. geopolitical strategy for the Middle East that will attempt to control the oil, control those nations, control the oil in the Caspian Sea region. And the main target of all of that, not the only one, but the main one, is China. If we understand that the Middle East is tied intimately in the U.S. mindset to the coming conflict with China, then we begin to see Israel's actions, we begin to see the U.S. violating the law once again, sending armaments to a nation at war. That's against international law, by the way. We begin to understand that this is part of a larger program that came out of the Pentagon, and the White House, and that unfortunately it aligns itself in some ways with Israel's, some people in Israel government who want to expand Israel's borders for the greater Israel. So it works up to a certain point, but up beyond that point, it's to Israel's detriment to be involved in this fight. And I think the reason why it's staying with it is because, not because, only because they have their own goals to achieve, but there's these overarching goals that they, as a subordinate country to the United States, are required to perform. The United States buttresses up Israel, we know that, $5 billion a year. Israel receives the largest amount of military aid from the United States than any other country. They have to pay back. And I think part of what we're seeing today, not all, part of what we're seeing today is that payback. So, I agree completely that our goal is to get the United States out of the Middle East entirely. That should be our goal. That's what we here as the American people need and must do as we align ourselves in creating a culture of peace in the Middle East. Thank you.
USA out of the Middle East.
Down here, our next speaker, Nina Paris, is a member of the Vermonters for Just Peace in Palestine and Israel, is going to speak.
I am a Jewish American. I came to this country in 1937, a refugee from fascism. I know what it is to lose your house, and what Israel has been doing in the Middle East, in Gaza, and in the West Bank, and now in Lebanon, is ruining the houses of thousands of Arabs simply because they want them out of the Middle East. This is immoral and has to be stopped. And it has to be stopped with an immediate ceasefire. And even though in the paper today it says that it looks like they're coming to an agreement about a ceasefire, Israel has also said at the same time that they're going to go in there and do as much damage as they can in the interim. This is a wholly immoral act. The world would have you believe that every Jew all over the world supports what Israel does. Well, that's simply not true. And it's not true in Israel either. 10,000 Israelis demonstrated against the war in Haifa. That's the largest peace demonstration that has ever happened in Israel. There are hundreds of Israeli soldiers and pilots who have refused to participate in this escapade and in previous escapades over the West Bank and Gaza. Some of them are now in jail. Others have left the armed services. I urge you, as an American, to help us get Israel out of the West Bank, out of Gaza, and out of Lebanon. Write your congressmen, your senators, and especially Bernie Sanders.
My name is Wafiq, and I am Palestinian origin refugee in Lebanon, and now I am Palestinian Lebanese American. My family still lives in the Kaaba Valley. I have 20 members of my family living in the same building. What my family tells me every day, they have no water, they have no electricity, the roads, all the roads on the Kaaba Valley in Beirut, Damascus, Beirut Highway, they all bombed. Buildings coming down, children, they have no food. They are refugees, Lebanese refugees from southern Lebanon. They are refugees on the schools in the Kaab Valley. They are Lebanese refugees in Lebanon. They became refugees in the Palestinian refugee camps. The good thing happened out of all of this, that Lebanese people approved are united. They are all together, Christian, Catholic, Orthodox, Sunni, Shia, they all together. They are with the resistance. The good news, the Lebanese people, the feeling they are winning. Every day, by resisting the Israeli occupation, they are winning. This is the first time in 58 years there is one. The people of Lebanon, they feel united. They feel they have no place to go. So why to run from the occupation? They have to resist the occupation. Israel is losing. Lebanese people are standing up to this occupation, and I hope the peace movement here become bigger and they stop sending our taxes to Israel so they will kill people. If it doesn't stop now, it will never stop. It's an opportunity that all people of the Middle East, we can live together, and we have to pray for the Lebanese people. We have to call for ceasefire, immediate ceasefire. There is no United Nations halfway, or give to Israel what they are not accomplishing in war. Why to give Israel what they couldn't do on the battlefield? Israel has to withdraw from Lebanon, and now, peace. Victory to the peace movement.
The next speaker we have is Sarah Mihalik. She's a member of Vermonters for a Just Peace in Palestine, Israel, and she's worked with the International Solidarity Movement in the West Bank.
Hi, everybody. I'm here today after an article in the New York Times last week whose headline was "Left or Right, Israelis Are Pro-War." And last year I spent 7 months living in Israel and Palestine, working with many Israeli activists who are certainly not pro-war. They are very anti-war and anti-occupation. And I just want to speak a little bit about what they've been doing in the last few weeks to resist the current Israeli aggression in Lebanon and Palestine. As Nina mentioned, 10,000 Israelis marched in Haifa last week, and also there was a 5,000 strong rally in Tel Aviv on July 22nd. They were calling for an end of the aggression in Lebanon and also calling on Israeli soldiers to refuse to serve in the military and to refuse to follow their orders that they are being given. The Refusenik movement is a growing movement in Israel, and already this war has had its first captain refuse to serve, and he's currently sitting in jail for making this really difficult decision. There are also groups that are doing more direct action to try to stop the Israeli aggression that's happening. Last week, 25 Israeli activists with the Anarchists Against the Wall initiative blockaded the entrance to the Ramat David Air Force Base in northern Israel. They succeeded for a few hours in blocking any traffic from entering and leaving the base, and 12 of them were arrested, and it's unclear what their charges will be exactly. In addition to the resistance to the current aggression, there's been an ongoing joint struggle to nonviolently resist the wall and the settlements in the West Bank. The most prominent example of this is in the village of Bilin, although many other Palestinian villages have recently been requesting Israeli solidarity activists to come and support their nonviolent demonstrations with the hope that because there's Israelis in the crowd, the soldiers have stated that they have different firing orders. When it's only a Palestinian demonstration, they can use live ammunition much more easily than if there are Israelis or internationals present in the demonstration, which shows the blatant racist policy of the state of Israel. The village of Bilin for the last year and a half has been having regular demonstrations every Friday to resist the wall that's being built through that village. And just yesterday, in yesterday's demonstration, It seems that the Israeli military is taking advantage of the fact that the media has been distracted looking at Lebanon and Gaza to be especially brutal in their repression of this nonviolent resistance. 14 people were injured yesterday, including two very severe head injuries. One Israeli activist was shot 3 times in the neck and head with a rubber bullet. He was rushed to the hospital, underwent emergency surgery, and is still in the hospital in a more stable condition. Also, a woman named Rita from Denmark was injured. She has skull fracture by being beaten in the head with the butt of an Israeli gun. And I just want to say that this joint work that's happening between the Israelis and Palestinians, that's very different than just having dialogue groups in a nice safe location within Israel trying to get people together to talk about peace, to have instead a dialogue that happens on the field with people working jointly to resist the occupation is something that I find really hopeful in this situation that seems to be a growing movement. Thousands of Israelis have traveled to the West Bank to participate in these demonstrations. And the debate and the dialogue that can happen in this kind of a setting, I think, is more powerful than any other dialogue groups that are happening right now. And I want everyone to just be aware that that's going on, and that I think that also is something that we should support as anti-war solidarity activists in the United States. And thank you all for coming out today. I think it's a great turnout, and the march was great. Thank you all.
So I just want to say it's great to see so many people here, and I was thinking, there's a lot of people here. We're not alone. There's hundreds and thousands of people from all over the country today gathering in Washington, D.C. to protest the occupation, and we stand in solidarity with them. Our last speaker is Mark Estrin. He's a member of Vermonters for a Just Peace in Palestine and Israel, and after Mark, we're going to open it up for a speak out for anybody who'd like to come up and say a few words.
I was intrigued the other night by a statement that Ashley made at the forum over here. You know that Ned Lamont beat Joseph Lieberman in the Connecticut primary, and there's been a lot of hoo-ha around that. And Ashley warned us to be careful about exactly how much hoo-ha we want to put out over it. And so I went to the web to look on his website to look for his statement about Israel and Lebanon and all that. And this is what I found. This is Ned Lamont, current hero. When we're dealing with Hezbollah and Hamas, who are both dedicated to the elimination of Israel, it's a little presumptuous for us to say what's proportionate and what's not from over here on this side of the Atlantic. I don't think it's for the United States to dictate how Israel tactically defends itself. That's Ned Lamont, the current hero of the left. Now, I thought, well, gee, I will look on some other websites and see what I find about our Democratic, major Democratic voices. We know about Hillary Clinton, but here's what she said. Israel should take whatever steps are necessary to defend itself. We will stand with Israel because Israel is standing for American values as well as Israeli ones. Here is Al Gore, secondary current hero of the left. Our enduring support for a strong and unshakable partnership is for a strong and unshakable partnership between the United States and Israel. Our commitment, our shared commitment to one of the cornerstones of America's national security, a strong, secure, peaceful, and prosperous state of Israel, this will never change. Never. Al Gore. Here's John Kerry. In this difficult time, we must again reaffirm we are enlisted for the duration and reaffirm our belief that the cause of Israel must be the cause of America and the cause of people of conscience everywhere. John Kerry. And here is our own Howard Dean. The administration's guiding principle in the Middle East are the right ones. He's talking about the Bush administration. The administration's guiding principles in the Middle East are the right ones. Terrorism against Israel must end. This is Howard Dean. I just want to give you this background because I personally, I know a lot of people disagree here. I personally think it's a waste of time to address the politicians and to look to the electoral process as changing this. The state and the politicians who represent that state, whether they're Republican or Democrat, have an agenda which is not our agenda. So I think we've got to take to the streets and we've got to take to non-electoral strategies. One of the most powerful strategies we can undertake is boycott. People listen when money talks. You can affect who makes money and who doesn't. There will be a meeting this Monday night, 2 days from now, 7 o'clock, Vermonters for Just Peace in the Peace and Justice Center. And at that meeting, we intend to address how to organize an effective local, not just let's boycott Caterpillar, because Caterpillar ain't here. How to affect a local boycott of those businesses who are supporting the Israeli wars now, and how to also other universities that we're involved with, how we can directly impact by boycott of Israel. And if anybody's interested in the boycott strategy, I advise you to come to the Peace and Justice Center, 7 o'clock this coming Monday, 2 days from now, and help us talk about it and formulate tactics for an effective local boycott. And believe me, that will bring a lot of news to what's going on in Burlington and in general. The mic is now open, and anybody who wants to either come up the steps for your daily cardiovascular or speak from the bottom of the steps, so Jimmy's going to come up. If he can make it to the top, I can tell.
Thank you, Mark, and thanks to everybody for coming out today. I am very worried about what I think is a coming further escalation of the war, despite the UN resolution. News reports say that 100,000 Israeli soldiers are mobilized to move across the border into Lebanon and up to the Litani River, about 20 miles north of the border. Consider what Israel's plans and goals may be in view of what they're actually doing militarily. They massively bombed civilian targets in Lebanon. Their massive bombing of civilians has forced out 750,000 people from southern Lebanon. They've used anti-personnel bombs, and they have a request in to the United States to get this bomblet kind of rocket from the U.S. to attack civilians whose only use is to attack large numbers of people. It's the opposite of pinpoint bombing. It destroys everything in a huge area involving acres of land. These weapons are anti-personnel weapons. And with the large numbers of troops and the anti-personnel weapons, what will they do? They are going to force out the entire population south of the Litani River. And they're going to then have a free hand to kill off the Hezbollah fighters. This does not take a genius to figure out. What happens next? The UN has some kind of resolution, but they are not going to stop the Israeli war plan. Israel will interpret this resolution as ratifying their invasion, justifying and legitimizing what they are doing. Israel's recipe is an old one. They've been doing it before. In 1948, they drove out the population. In 1967, they drove out the population in the Golan Heights and in territories they occupy. I think they will do what they did in those occupations. After depopulating, they will bring in Jewish settlers. After depopulating, we can expect southern Lebanon to be repopulated just like they repopulated the Golan Heights. Just as they repopulated the Golan Heights with Jewish settlements. They want the land and they want the water from the Litani River. And what's also happening is pretexts for war with Syria and Iran, something George Bush very much is interested in. What is needed for us in view of this very unpleasant forecast? What we need to do is to continue to build and organize and mobilize large numbers of people against this Israeli and U.S. war, demanding that the Israelis bring their troops out of Lebanon now, that they stop the bombing, that they bring their troops out of the Gaza and out of the West Bank and out of the Golan and all the territories they're occupying. Thank you very much.